Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Bonjour mes amis, ça va bien. I hope we're all ça va bien-ing tonight. Darlings, it's Mummy, Sybil Brunchen, and we're coming to you live all around the world, can you imagine? On Come Now, Don't Sulk, which is part of the Here Be Monsters studio on Blog Talk Radio Network. And we are here every Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. Hello, Australia. You're not only not in our time zone, it's 8 in the morning there or something, and you're going into the fall. We're going into the spring. Mummy keeps lording over everybody that it's spring, and then I forget that all our friends south of the equator are beginning to look at fall, and I know you're unpacking your sweaters or your wallabies or whatever it is you people wear. And it's very nice that your listeners here, we have a huge following in Australia, but I do want to say that thank you for tuning in as a breakfast show. I guess we've become a breakfast show for you. Imagine Sybil and Gwendolyn for breakfast. Speaking of Gwendolyn, we are brought to you every week by daughtersofisis.com. That's daughters of ISIS.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and by listeners just like you. Thank you. Daughters of ISIS is a wonderful company that deals in essential oils and fragrances, which are not only mind-expanding and olfactory-expanding and sensual-expanding and sexual-expanding, they're also philosophical-expanding. The sense of smell is more extraordinary than we give it credit for. And our producer and head chemist at daughtersofisis.com is with us tonight, as she is every week, Gwendolyn Holdenberry. Gwendolyn, how are you tonight?
I'm just peachy. I'm good.
I want to break the news to people because for those of you that are in spring, you might be thinking of swimsuit weather or not, as the case may be. But the bottom line is that when Wendell and I do this show every Monday, we have a little powwow before we go on the air. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Philadelphia. Gwendolyn is coming from Port St. Lucie, Florida. And we have callers come in from all over the country. Oh, by the way, callers, feel free to call in tonight, as always, 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. Do call in, and we'll talk about anything tonight. But the thing that Gwendolyn and I were talking about was diets. And we're both, like, trying to diet now that it's warm weather. I hardly think that we're going to take out our string bikinis, but just to be able to get into our Hawaiian print shirts would be nice. I'm wearing 3Xs now, so it's really time to stop shopping at the Jabba the Hutt shop. The Jabba the Hutt. The job of the hut, hefty hut. But before we do that, Gwendolyn, speaking of diets, and before we start talking about the woes of dieting, is there a fragrance that A, is perfect for this end of March, beginning of April, and B, might actually help us tune our bodies towards being a little more svelte? Are there fragrances that help us with that?
Well, there's two answers to that question. First, I did choose a scent to bring forth tonight this spring. It's called Indigo Dragon Vision. It's from our Eastern selections. And it makes use of the rare fragrances from the Far East. And it's all about visualizing and dreaming and making what you want come to pass. So a manifest. And it's a blend of aloes wood with lemon and rose and strax. And sandalwood.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
I love that, and I love the and of all the shades of blue, and blue is one of the most universally popular colors worldwide, culture-wide. Blue has been the color that all cultures agree on, all history. all cultures agree that blue is what blue is, magical.
And of all
the shades of blue, indigo is one of my very, very, very favorites. It's just gorgeous.
Well, you know, culturally, all of our ancestors understood something of color and the parts of the body. We could call it aura, or more commonly these days, everyone's pretty hip to the chakra system. Those little vortexes, you know, filtering our emotions and bringing chi into our bodies. And our communication, our voice, which is a very creative chakra, is blue. It's a bright blue. And indigo is the color of our third eye, where all of our visualization and dreaming and all of our ability to see beyond is located right there in the middle of the brow, and it's an indigo color. So you've got the blues into the violet and white for the higher chakras and the higher mind, if you will.
Higher
body. So I chose these very, you know, petite you use because they're very expensive, but they're worth it. And so the Indigo Dragon Vision Mist is what I would suggest for spring. For curbing your appetite, there is a trick that aroma, people who are familiar with working with scent, let's put it that way, because an aromacologist like myself will tell you it's fine to work with fragrance, which means it's been, you know, formulated in a laboratory to create a scent, which most perfumes today are. The aromatherapist would say, oh, no, we don't do that. But here's the thing, the fragrance of, and they found this out using it in, I can't remember the place, but it was a spa. They used Yankee Candle, and you know how Yankee Candles give off scent. It's positively bad for you. But the scent of green apple will curb your appetite. It really will.
Oh, interesting. Green apple scent will curb your appetite.
It will. You could grab yourself a Granny Smith and scratch away. Or, and that's a wonderful thing you could snack on while you're trying to curb your appetite, and that would work. But there are fragrance companies out there who create fragrances very safely and with beautiful results. And I happen to have a green apple scent that I work with. It's a fun scent. We use it in some of our fun stuff. And green apple is, it's you put that into, if you're really having a hard time, like I'm on the Atkins, if I were to really start having a hard time, I'd just fire up the little, you know, candle vaporizer here, you know, with a little cistern of water and put a couple of droplets of the green apple in there.
But you haven't monetized this yet, though, have you? You haven't come out with a product line of diet fragrances.
Oh, no.
We have to do that. Listen, I'm not good for much, but I am good for marketing. I suggest that we come up with a Gwendolyn Holdenberry line of fragrances, which are, because everyone wants to feel all the wonderful things that you promote in all those different fragrances. Every week we come up with a wonderful, you come up with a fragrance that suggests it and how we can improve our mental abilities and our spiritual abilities and our everything. But let's get down to brass tacks. We live in a Kardashian world, and everyone wants to be slim and rich and selfish and bitchy and rotten like an American should be. And I think that we should come up with the daughtersofisis.com diet plan. And the first fragrance we should do, we should not tell them it's green apple because then people will be doing it at home. We should call it something like so long, fatty. And it should come in a cute little bottle. And it should be, and when they spray it, most people won't be able to know that it's green apple, but they'll spray it on themselves, and within weeks they'll be losing weight. They won't know why. It'll be your magical chemistry, Gwendolyn, and it will be called So Long Fatty, and we'll do a commercial with, like, some Brits. You know, like, hey, hello there. Are you a little plump around the middle? How about plump all over? So long, fatty. And then it will be like, buy this jumbo-sized bottle, and we'll do it not in little spritz bottles. Well, we could for purses, but why don't we do the orphanage size? And it'll come in like a 2-gallon jug with a giant pump thing on it. And it'll be called So Long Fatty. And that'll be the first of our diet plan. I will be the spokesperson for it because I'm fat enough to be So Long Fatty. And we'll do it.
I'm trying to figure out a scent that'll get me to drink water more. I'm getting so much in, but I'm only getting 2 18-ounce glasses a day in with a few more. And I need to get 3 or 4 in. And I got to tell you, Mother used to say, you know, that water, oh, water rusts the pipes. Give me a piece of whiskey.
So your problem is you need to drink more water as opposed to something else, or just more water?
Just water. You've got to do the water. The water rehydrates. Do you know how many of us are not properly hydrated?
Well, the thing is, yes, exactly. The problem, though, is that some people are drinking 8 and 10 glasses of water, but not doing any electrolytes. And so what they're doing is they're flooding their systems with water and then peeing or sweating all their electrolytes out. When I used to play tennis all the time, Mummy was quite a tennis player for a number of years. And I used to see people drink water and faint on the court because they had sweated out all their electrolytes. The salt was gone. But lo and behold, they'd done what everyone had said, drink 10 glasses of water. No, you have to drink electrolytes.
You
could drink as much water as you want, as long as you get a banana in there and some potassium in it.
Right.
So,
there's actually a lot of wonderful products out there that will help you. A little half glass of this.
Yes.
I got this. I got turned on this week from my good friend Tracy, who has excellent taste too. She said, I found these on Drew Barrymore's show. This woman has condensed into a fizzy all of the stuff you need to keep all of that going. It's like you can drink half a glass, drop a fizzy in, and drink half a glass in the morning. And if you need it again, you can do it again in the afternoon. But people do, I will say this, some people are drinking way too much water to reduce or whatever. You can actually put yourself into a shocker and get wheeled into the ER doing that. I know that's true.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, George and I go to Wegmans, and in their pharmacy and herbal section, whatever, they sell this bag of little long envelopes of powder that is, I can't remember what it's called. I really could run out of the studio right now.
High C's are very, very popular and very, very good. They give you potassium, magnesium, all of this stuff, and they come in orange and lemon and all of that. The orange is the one that I can choke down. they all taste relatively the same when they work right, and that is, but you do it, and you feel better so much. It's like magic.
I ran to our kitchen here at the studio, and I got the bag out. Ours is called, it's in a turquoise and navy blue bag with a pink stripe. It's called Hydration Multiplier. That's Hydration Multiplier. And it comes in these long, like middle finger shaped sized envelopes. You snip the top, you pour it into a glass. It comes in lemon, lime, or passion fruit, all these different flavors. And it stirs right up. It doesn't fizz. Ours doesn't fizz. This is non-GMO, and it's an electrolyte drink mix. And we have at least one a day, if not two. And I'll tell you something. It makes such a difference. It's really wonderful. By the way, I got a question from somebody. I try to keep these questions so that I can answer them. Somebody said that they've gotten older and they suffer from restless leg syndrome, RLS. So these initial acronym things that people have are, so restless leg syndrome is as you get older, sometimes your legs will twitch when you're going to sleep, especially uncontrollably. It's electrical. What is it?
Get rid of the sugar. I had a lot at night. My feet would start going. And
it's painful. It's actually almost painful because they will, you'll feel a jolt, like your leg will feel almost electrical. It'll feel like an electrical jolt moves through it.
That's a little more than I was getting, but I would get this. And I, from time to time, because I'm sedentary, I sit at the bench. And that's another thing I've changed too. Going out with my Walkman and dancing during my, dancing best I can these days, out on the patio during lunch, and then come up just to get myself going to the point where I will be able to do some valuable exercise, as it were. But restless leg syndrome, that's dietary. And sometimes medicine, but it's usually over-the-counter medicines. But this is something I know about because my little brother Asa, his mom Alba, is a nutritionist. And she has told me for years, you want that to stop, get rid of the sugar. And she was right.
Cut way back on sugar, but it doesn't stop it for me. What stops it for me is I have chewable magnesium jellies and chewies, and they're delicious. And you get they're like gumdrops. Aww. They're covered in what looks like sugar. They look like a gumdrop. They're like lingonberry or some delicious flavor. I mean, they're ridiculously delicious. And they are magnesium, and I take two or three of them before I go to bed at night. And I don't even have to take melatonin now because it's just having some magnesium in my system above and beyond what I get in my morning multivitamin pack has made all the difference in the world. My legs are no longer like shaking or trembling or what was horrible was the electrical jolt that would move up, like really like your leg would kick.
I still get that, but I attribute that correctly, as it turns out, to I have terrible sciatica. And yet, since I dropped the starches and all of that and the sugar in the last couple of weeks, I don't know how long it is now. I mean, Jesus, who keeps time anymore? Time has run away. But the thing is that what was I telling you about the electrical jolts? My sciatica pain has diminished quite a bit, which is wonderful.
Isn't that amazing?
But I still can get that jolt from the side. And I don't know if you can count that as a restless leg or whatever, but I get this jolt of pain, which is attributed to the sciatica nerve.
Right.
So,
do you take magnesium as well as everything else?
As a matter of fact, I just ordered some from iHerb, and you have to be careful. You have to be careful with magnesium. So I'm going to, I got them in a whole food, you get your stuff in whole food tablets or whole food concentrations. Because the pills just run through your body with, and don't leave much behind. Go to Me Chapter or iHerb or something. But I ordered these magnesium pills, and I figure, I'll cut it in half and try it that way. If it doesn't make enough of a difference, I'll take a whole one. That's how I do it, because me and Doc,
folks at home, listen, obviously, all things in moderation. You do have to be careful with taking supplements, and certainly water-based supplements like vitamin C, you'll just urinate out of your system. It's almost impossible to overdose on vitamin C. But the oil, vitamin E, vitamin K, the minerals, you can overdose on those. So do be careful. I want to remind everyone, before we get too much farther in the show, our phone number is 323-784-9639, 323-784-9639. 888-484-9639. We're brought to you this week, as always, by DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and by listeners like you. Thank you. Listen, while we're on the show tonight, you can tune, you can look at DaughtersOfIsis.com. That's all one word. And it look on your website, and you'll see all the products they are offering, including tonight's special Indigo Dragon fragrance, which is right there. So check that one out. We were talking before the show started about diets, and we're each approaching different diet plans. My diet plan right now includes gardening. I'm out gardening in the little bit of land that comes with the townhouse that I'm living in now outside of Philadelphia. We don't have, I have a small deck, and I have you know, a strip of land in front near the driveway. But it's a community development, so we don't have yards to take care of. The community association has dictated that they will mow the grass, they take the yards, and you don't have a lot of area to, you know, flower beds that are yours or whatever. But I am burning calories. And I do wish that there was a chakra that was the chocolate chakra. I wish there was a center of the body that was ruled by chocolate and required vast daily or even hourly feedings of chocolate. Sadly, no. And I even have Indian neighbors, and I've spoken to them about the chakras and asked them to consult their third eyes, and they say no, no, and no. There is no chocolate chakra. Anyway, but I, Gwendolyn, you're
dedicated to your gardening, and that's action and movement and constant movement.
Exactly. Mine was strenuous.
I'm working on pure anger, galvanized anger. It's made me a focused new woman. Actually, it has. It's jump started me. I'm very grateful for it, and yet so angry.
Yeah. So, well, as long as it's expressed, because stresses that are not expressed, either anger or whatever, grief, whatever, tension, any kind of those emotions, you eat them and you produce glycol. And that just makes you put on more and more fat. So you become, you know, insulin intolerant or insulin whatever, blah, blah, blah. But you tell everybody the diet that you have selected to go on.
Well, it worked for many people I know have, and I watched a young man when I lived in Boston do it, and it was amazing. And men lose weight faster than women, thank you very much. And this young man was about 70 pounds overweight, and he put it on over a period of time. I watched him do it because he was going through a divorce. Well, he went on this, and I've known my sister did it. Atkins. There you go. A lot of people have done it. A lot of people live with it, you know. And I have been reading about it. And I thought, I'll tell you, I can eat this. This is, there's some wonderful food here that I can eat. I can't have certain things, of course, and it's proportioned. But that's what I'm doing. I've been doing for the last 2 weeks is getting my stomach into shape for taking less portions and not eating at 2 a.m.
For doing the Atkins diet.
Yeah. And right. I think it might be just, it's been a wonderful thing for us. But this young man, we used to call him the Street Jedi. Joe, he slimmed down, lost it all in a period of like 4 months. And
wow.
And this is a kid who, I kid you not, I used to call him Tyrone because he looked like Tyrone Power, but he was tall.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Oh, I mean, he was what we used to call peace ass back in the day. You know,
right.
He was cute, handsome like Tyrone Power.
Wow.
But he did it very quickly. My sister took, like, she carried this extra weight about, I don't know, about 45 pounds from her son. Being born and gaining it, you know, during that. And then afterwards, she didn't really shed it. So she carried that around for like, I'd say a good 18 years. And then she went on Atkins. And she's a skinny mini. She gets down to the size she was in high school almost. And that's wow, you know?
Wow, yeah, yeah. Interesting.
She gains a few pounds. She goes back off, and she eats properly most of the time.
Uh-huh. I put a friend of mine, back when I used to be a real gym rat, and he used to say, you know, I was so lean and so, you know, in shape.
You
and
were.
I said to him, why don't you try the Fit for Life diet, which was fascinating. It had many, many rules, but some of the rules were really, we experimented on him, and I mean, it worked miracles. One of the rules was that you eat, okay, it was very much about food combining. You could combine certain foods, but you did not combine other foods because you confused your body. Okay.
Right.
So, for instance, you would never eat meat with fruit. So duck a l'orange, no.
No.
You would not eat a meal and then have a fruit dessert. You would not put fruit into your body when your body was trying to break down protein. Your body, when it turns on protein, is working very hard, releasing chemicals that will break down that protein. When you put fruit in, fruit is basically a laxative. It's roughage, and it's not only that, it's lubricating roughage. So your body suddenly is stuck with this fruit that is fermenting and is hanging around too long in a digestive system that is mostly trying to break down a living animal, an animal that you've killed as a caveman and then swallowed. So if you think of that, it's kind of like, oh my God, there were other things. For instance, you were allowed to eat, this is really shocking, you were supposed to eat fruit, only fruit, from waking in the morning till 12 noon. So
right.
All morning long, you could drink juices, you could eat fruit, you could do whatever you want. But, okay, now the good news was that it speeds up your metabolism. It fuels you, right? Listen to this. This is all good news. It's all of those things. The bad news, it's a pure, deadly laxative. So if you are quarantined at home and you operate from home and there's a pandemic and the office is in the distant past now for you, hallelujah, you can shit as much as you want between waking up in the morning and 12 noon because you're home and you can do it and you're not trying to go to the men's room on the 38th floor of the office building you're part of a corporation of, which is very embarrassing and humiliating. Michael said that it was very hard because he was the manager of a very famous photographic studio. His employers were famous fashion and commercial photographers. So they fortunately had a couple of bathrooms in their studios, and he reserved the bathroom for him, which was where he'd go and be as loud and as smelly as he needed to be all morning long because he literally was dropping weight. He was flushing his weight down the toilet, as he joked.
Yeah.
He joked about that. He flushed his weight down the toilet. He would be eating apples and oranges and bananas and everything, and it was just like going right through him. And his system, he said, was as if he had had a colonoscopy. He was literally whistle clean. Like he just was as clean a system. He felt different. He felt lighter and everything. At 12 noon, okay, this was another rule. His lunch could be vegetables and a protein. So he could have tuna fish salad, or he could have salmon on salad, or he could have steamed vegetables and a chicken breast, or any of those things.
Sounds
okay.
Like
he could, interesting. He could not have, listen to this. He could not have pasta and chicken.
Yes.
There was no starches. So you were not supposed to have baked potato and steak. You could not have chicken tetrazzini, could not have clams on spaghetti. You could have spaghetti, but with broccoli and vegetables on it. You could have baked ziti with tomatoes but you could have a starch, but you could not have it with a protein. Okay? Okay. The next rule, and there were 20 rules, but we only adhered to like five of them. The next rule was, you were to have an afternoon, you were to have lunch, but you were also, so part of the grazing aspect of this was you definitely were supposed to eat again. And this is, you were supposed to have an afternoon snack or something. And that afternoon snack could be the pasta that you didn't get to have at lunch, or it could, you were to eat something. You were to eat something. You could eat, for instance, Michael got in the habit of taking a Tupperware container with ice cubes in it filled with celery and carrot stalks. So and he would sit at his desk and he would simply eat entire, he would just nibble on celery and carrots, celery and carrots. Crudité. And what that did was that also cleaned your system. It also caused, it was more calories to break it down than you would store. So those foods like celery are exhausting to your body because they're providing no calories and they're taking your body to work that conveyor belt of that food through your system. So if you think of your body as being a conveyor belt, suddenly the food that you're, a piece of chocolate cake takes, it's bringing calories into your body, but it only takes a few calories to break it down. Celery gives you practically no calories and you have to work very hard to break it down and get it out. So that was interesting. So he would do a snack like that, or he would do a pasta salad with vegetables at 4 in the afternoon or whatever. Next rule, 7 o'clock dinner. Again, food that is combined properly. You cannot do bad combinations of food.
Right.
And then the stroke of midnight is 8 p.m. Whatever you've done, you may not eat after 8 p.m.
Right.
If you have screwed up because you're working too hard, like many of us were back in New York City when we were, like, you know, my father said, we had it so hard and he worked 9 to 5 and never worked longer than that in his life. When I was working at Tommy Hilfiger, I would sometimes go to work at 7 in the morning and leave at 10:30 at night. So, you know, this whole thing, if you have screwed up your fit for life diet because you didn't get to eat properly when you were supposed to eat at 8 o'clock, the only thing you would be allowed to eat after 8 p.m. would be fruit. And I don't mean chocolate-covered strawberries. I mean, again, a couple of apples. Or, you know, you could eat some fruit, which would literally be some carbs, but it would be breakdownable carbs. It would be laxative carbs. It would be carbs that would be going through your system and be out in the morning when you started up your fruit thing again. So we only followed those rules. We didn't follow all the rules, but we followed those. And Michael, oh my God, his body changed in 10 days, dramatically changed, like really startling. And it was because he was doing things like A, eating fruit from waking till noon, eating a good lunch, but again, combining foods properly, not improperly. He was having a mid-afternoon snack, which was a proper snack, like a small lunch. He was having dinner, again, that whole thing, and then nothing after 8 unless he was screwed up or was dying of hunger, like his stomach was burning, and he would have some fruit to settle that down. And I'm telling you, his body changed completely. His skin changed everything. Now, this was many years ago when he didn't mind having a chiseled face as well as a chiseled body because he was a young man.
Yeah.
But here we go, boys and girls at home. This is where Gwendolyn and I, who are ladies of a certain age, one of my favorite quotes was Catherine Deneuve. She said this 50 years ago. People said, what's your secret of being so beautiful? And she said, well, darling, after when you're 40, either your face or your body goes. And the interviewer said, what do you mean? And she said, when you're 40 years old, you have a choice. If you want your body to be svelte and you still want to be a size 6 or a size 8, your face will be a little gaunt. So when you're 40, you lose the fat in your face. Your face gets a little drawn, but you will have that wonderful French woman's body, right? If you want your face to be young after 40, you have to be a little overweight. So you're going to lose your waistline, but you'll have that fat in your skin and in your face and your hands that plumps you out a little bit and makes you look good. Now, this was 50 years ago she said that. And the truth of the matter is that for some reason, people are looking younger later in their lives. Betty Davis in All About Eve says she just turned 40, and people who see that movie roar with laughter. She looks 65 if she's a day, but she in fact was only 40 when she did All About Eve. It's just that Margot Channing looks 58, 60, 62 by our standards. Well, if you asked, you know, if you asked that question today about fat and whether you had to be overweight, Catherine Deneuve, it's more like 50-year-olds or 55-year-olds. Once you turn 50 or 55, if you want your body to be really svelte, your face gets a little chiseled. My face is based totally on bones. I'm sorry, what?
I'm thinking of myself. I'm keeping the Irish puff plump face. That's all. I'm keeping
That's
it.
Me too. My mother's,
I am not going that far down the road. I will not.
My mother's
that.
Beauty was based totally on her chiseled cheekbones. She had beautiful, she was beautiful, and she had cheekbones, and she wasn't, she was prettier than Katharine Hepburn. But Hepburn's beauty was based on the fact that her face looked like it had been hacked out of granite. It was not lush beauty like Ava Gardner or Grace Kelly or Elizabeth Taylor.
Catherine Deneuve still looks good. And I mean, she's way up there, but she still looks good.
And she's overweight, but she's overweight.
I mean, she is. She's not morbidly obese at all.
Well, she's not Elizabeth Taylor. She's not Elizabeth Taylor.
No, she's not.
But Deneuve is overweight, and her point was that and being French, she was very much aware of that thing of like French women have that tendency to have those amazing bodies, but it's hard to keep your face looking young if you're going to be that svelte. And so, in fact, Deneuve has put on some weight so that she can keep that beautiful, beautiful face. But no one judges her on that because a woman of, you know, a mature woman, like how many mature women do you know who are still a size 6 or a size 8? I mean, Coco Chanel was, but she was like, it was like looking at a marionette when she was old.
Short Italian women can get away with that, but they do look gaunt. It's Catherine Deneuve, man, big crush, still got it. She still looks great. But I know women, of course, they're compadres who are in their, you know, turning 50 and going through their 50s. And with a little bit of extra weight, they look a lot younger than they are. I can think of one person right now who looks like she's in her 30s, mid-30s, and she's going to be 50. So it's like,
yeah,
that's not bad. You're still active as hell. I wouldn't fool with it, but, you know.
It's funny. There are famous actresses who look beautiful in old age. Helen Mirren. When Helen Mirren has her hair short is groomed, I mean, she's ridiculously beautiful. Judi Dench. Emma Thompson isn't as old as Judi Dench and Helen Mirren, but yes, Emma Thompson looks lovely.
Those arms.
Yes, but it is interesting to see how these people age and what they do about aging. It's tricky.
It's true.
You and I have decided that we're going to keep our faces as not gaunt, as ungaunt as possible by maybe being a little bit curvaceous.
Yes. Well,
we're curvy girls.
A lot of these older actresses, too, have seen, you know, we used to say, oh, they went to Rio. You know, they've had work done. But I'll never forget my mom's ridge running pal, Audrey Lances. She was always small. And of course, she had a nice little martini habit every day. And so she went to have work done. You could tell, but it seemed to me that she aged quicker in her face, and it was probably because of the gym, but you know, she got this look, and I'll never forget it. She was just so gaunt, and it came back pretty within a couple of years. You could see the lines again and stuff. So I was like, wow, never going down that road. No siree.
Right. Right.
No. But what kills me is when you see younger people having work. And, of course, there's always good stuff that people do with good reason, like a nose job. What is that, a rhinoplasty? Or, something to – but I've seen people that have gone a little too far, and it's like, wow, how does that happen? How did doctors do that? I guess we've gone on a tangent. Sorry.
I'm stunned at the number of people who in show business have had plastic surgery and young people too show business, and the surgery is alarming, and these are people that can afford the best, and it's. I mean, of course, there are catastrophes like Cher and Carol Burnett, but
you think Cher's catastrophe?
I think that Cher has had so much surgery.
Oh yeah,
it's a little odd. She looks odd. She hasn't had nerve damage. Carol Burnett was a tragedy. Carol Burnett had paralysis on her face. And that was a disaster where a nerve was damaged and she looked like she had had a stroke and it was years. And she still is, it's not perfect. But of course, she was always a character actor. She was not a leading lady. So it's okay because she uses it. I mean, she's on an episode of Law and Order that's amazing. And she plays this amazing character, just brilliant. And her face suits the character and she uses it as an actress. But, but back to the Kardashians and whoever, the Kardashians haven't had a catastrophe, but the number of people, Meg Ryan, oh dear, that was bad.
That was shocking.
And she has the money to go to the best. Rupert Everett, oh my God, Rupert Everett, beautiful actor, physically beautiful actor, British actor, and he had plastic surgery, and he was no. The disaster wasn't that his face looked too pulled or too stretched or too Asian, too Chinese or whatever. It was that his face didn't get tight. His eyes didn't become slanted, nothing like that. He was no longer Rupert Everett. When you look at pictures of him now, people can't recognize the Rupert Everett that was in all those wonderful movies. Like My Best Friend's Wedding. When he was in My Best Friend's Wedding with Julia Roberts, it's like he was so adorable. And he went and had all this plastic surgery. And his face is the face of a different man, completely, completely different man. And it's just strange that these people have so much money, can go to the very best people in the world, and then have things go haywire. Pulled too tight. Nicole Kidman, this is a major, major actress. And she got pulled a little tight.
I noticed that just a tad, but it really, I still think she's a beautiful lady.
Her face is settled. The other thing is that
character in her face. She has that character. And that's the quality. Yeah. As a woman who's attracted to women, I think that it's also about the character in somebody's face, It's like, and that's a totally individual thing, I suppose. But I do think
woman who also was willing to play Virginia Woolf and to put a false nose on and be as homely as possible. She is not afraid to be a character actress.
No.
And yet she had plastic surgery to make herself, she Hollywoodized herself, and it took 2 years for her face to settle. Now that's an interesting thing as an actress. You basically say goodbye to 2 years of your life, or you select roles which are perhaps appropriate to that hard, strange pull that you got, you know, for $50,000. And so, okay, maybe that's what you decided to do. But it took 2 years for her face to settle back down to being a face. What was that movie she did with the polar bear? It was all animation.
I don't remember.
Something. It was a fantasy movie. She played a villainess in it.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it was very much like a Hobbit-like movie. The children, it was a world that was getting rid of its children or something, and the children had animal spirits. I'll have to look it up. Anyway, the bottom line was that she was in it, and she had had the surgery, and she looked perfect in that role because that character was supposed to be frigid, like a brutal, icy, dangerous lady.
But then there are
aristocrat.
Women who have done it, and it's almost flawless, like Julianne Moore. I mean, I don't know if it's all that German-Irish in her or what, but she really does look flawless. And you know she's had the work done. And she admits to it, too. So, you know, that's always nice.
Yeah, it's tricky. It's tricky. Folks, I want to remind you that our phone number, if you feel like calling in, is 323-784-9639. I thought we'd hear from Pamela tonight, or who else? It's funny we didn't hear from anyone tonight. Our diet chat scared them all away. They're a bunch of cowards. Oh, my God, they're a bunch of cowards. Wayne, where was Wayne tonight? Wayne didn't call in?
I think he had to make, he got his first, he was going out for his first vaccine shot. So I think they may have stopped to see family on the way back.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's fair enough. Fair enough. Speaking of which, have you had either of the vaccines yet? One or both?
I've had both now. And
what was did you have any side effects from either of them?
Well, I don't know if it was side effects, and it's been hail and farewell a while back to the regular night sweats, but I got night sweats so much so that it kept me up, and I do this thing to try and break myself of a pattern trying to get to sleep. If something's bothering me, I'll put my head at the other end of the bed, and that didn't work. And it usually does. I had night sweats, but I can't say it was that. But I haven't had any like that. I mean,
it wasn't menopause related at all.
Well, no, it wasn't. But let me tell you a little secret about menopause, darling, because you will still get symptoms until the day you cross.
Yes, you're preaching to the choir. Yes, you're preaching to the choir.
So
Mommy knows all about
it. I don't know that, you know, it wasn't just, you know, that feminine part of me that said, you know, well, here we go, rock and roll. But I did notice that the second one gave me, the first one did not. The second one, my arm got sensitive around the shot, and I got like a lump there. And I complained about it in front of my, you know, Doc Berry here, the acupuncturist, and she says, rub it, even if it hurts, rub it because it needs to get into your system. You know, it's like, you mean that crap sitting there? Like, oh, good grief. And it's all flat now and everything's fine. And I don't know, maybe it was my second COVID shot that gave me the got me up and going, you know, helped that along. But I got both of them.
We've gotten one. George and I each qualified for one, and we're getting our second on April 2nd. So we're looking forward to that. And I'm hardly a germaphobe. I'm not frantic and have never believed that I was going to get COVID. I still think that George and I, traveling nonstop for 2 years, literally in airports every week, and every part of this country. We were in every part of the 48 states. We
the
went
mainland.
From North Dakota all the way down to Texas. We went from Florida to California. We were everywhere, and we were in airports over and over and over again. Sometimes we not only were in airports, we went from one town to another before coming home. We didn't always come home after each town that we'd gone to or city. We sometimes would link them. And we were, when we were fortunate enough to be able to link them, that, but some of them were absurd. Some of them were like, we would go to Philadelphia, San Francisco, then back to Minneapolis, then down to Florida, then home. I mean, there was no linking that at all. It just, we happened not to be flying home each time. I believe that our immune systems were literally A++++ grade, like a flight attendant's immune system. We were, any germ or virus that would dare to wander into our bodies, either through our mouths or our noses or wherever, would be instantly, like lowering it into a smelter, into a blast furnace. We simply killed everything that came into us. And I refuse to believe that we were not exposed to COVID during that time. We were traveling up, right up to last March, a year ago right now. Our last flight was a year ago right now. And we actually, I told you this before, Gwendolyn, we left LaGuardia on a Wednesday, and it was LaGuardia Airport. It was packed, a million people on a Wednesday at 9 a.m. We were gone a week. We came back on a Wednesday at 9 a.m. and LaGuardia was a ghost town. Half the stores and restaurants were boarded up and closed. There was no one there. It was like, it was even more empty than LaGuardia is on New Year's morning. Like if you've ever had to travel on New Year's Day at 7 a.m, no one is in an airport. I mean, they're not. If they're in an airport, they're in the bathroom vomiting, but they're not wandering the aisles. And LaGuardia was emptier than that. And that week was the week that everything had really finally been believed. People genuinely panicked. Stores were emptied of their groceries. The news was showing vast stores, you know, Costco with empty shelves, even Costco, even, you know, Target or Wegmans, all empty. And people had fled. And we got home. That was our last trip. And I remember saying to George, I said, we're not going to get it. We've been exposed to it repeatedly. And if you can get antibodies to this thing by being exposed to it, and if you're strong, you'll fight it off. I mean, people fought off the bubonic plague. Disease kills everybody.
It's genetic structure. I mean, there are my nephew is a firefighter paramedic in West Palm Beach, and he has had COVID twice. And the second time he had it, he had one symptom, which was AFib, and they shocked him. And he's been back, of course, because he's a firefighter. He has to be cleared on his heart. And he's just fine. And that was the only symptom he had. The first time he caught it, he had like flu-like symptoms, and they hung on for a couple of months. But he wasn't tested for it because it was at the very beginning, but he believes he did. The other thing is he and his fiance lived together and she never got it. And you know they're sleeping together. And I know
Did she test positive for it? She
tested negative, and my sister was down there. It was quite a concern with the AFib thing. And she tested a negative too. There was one case where I know a couple of gay men in New York who are in the entertainment industry, and they're in their 30s, and he got it bad. And his husband was with him the whole time and took care of him and everything, always tested negative. There's a lot of genetics going on here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
DNA. But these new variants that are coming up and spreading give me pause. But I am bound and determined myself that I got itchy boot heels. I want to be, you know, on the road again sometime. But, of course, no buts. I do, you know. I want to do my workshops, that kind of thing. And I want to go to Alaska in August. But here's the thing. If we just don't know what's going to happen with these variants, I will say this too, and I think you probably do too. I think that the new administration is doing their very best to get people vaccinated and to get it as streamlined in each state that they travel to as they can.
Yeah.
And that's a whole lot more than we've had for a while, you know?
Yeah. I don't think that people are not giving the current administration credit for doubling what his promise was. His promise was 1 million vaccines a day. And it's over 2 million a day. And I'm not going to spend the last 2 minutes of the show completely condemning and damning the GOP and every red voter that supported them. But between the way that the trials are going for the rioters, and I'm sick of them being called insurrectionists. I said that on my blog, is that, you know, insurrectionists, that still connotes a certain kind of patriotism. Or, I mean, let's be honest, George Washington was an insurrectionist, you know.
Yes,
Thomas Jefferson was an insurrectionist.
I agree. So, I agree with
and,
that.
And they resorted to violence. But what these people on the Capitol steps did on January 6th, there's no insurrection. They were rioters. They were junky, cheap, filthy rioters. They were trying to steal an election, claiming that it had been stolen by someone else. And they killed somebody. They caused other people to die. They destroyed property. They compromised security. They went into people's offices in our country, high up officials who have sensitive national security material. They violated that. If they had been black, and I've said this before, they would have been shot dead. And I still don't understand why they either weren't gunned down where they stood and, you know, 1,000 fatalities and that's the way it goes, or why we're not saying that they were rioters and that they were treasonous, they were traitors. They're white. And they are, it's inexcusable. And Josh Hawley should be taken out. So whatever. I'm not going to go into it. I'm looking at the time.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the time, and we're out of time. Folks, you've been listening to Come Now, Don't Sulk. I am indeed Sybil Brunchen, and this is indeed Gwendolyn Holden-Berry, my wonderful producer, with me. We come to you every week on Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. We are part of the Here Be Monsters studio on Blog Talk Radio Network. Please join us every Monday and call in. You can call in and chat with us about whatever we're talking about, and you can even change the subject. You can find us at SybilSez.com. That's SYBILSEZ.com, SybilBrunchen.com, and the Sybil Brunchen Lollipop Guild on Facebook. You can also check out my YouTube channel, and I'm on Instagram and Twitter. And this is our wonderful podcast, which is live every Monday night. Please, please, please feel free to join us and tell your friends, okay? Again, our sponsors are DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and by listeners like you. Thank you so much. Gwendolyn, I love you. Happy spring.
I love you back. Happy spring. And
tell the name of our fragrance one more time tonight. It's Indigo Dragon.
Indigo Dragon Vision, you'll find it under sprays on my website.
Fabulous. Do go and check out their fragrances. They have over 500 products there. So it's just endless, amazing products. It's wonderful. Just wonderful. Go to that site and have your mind, your chakras, everything expanded painlessly. Anyway, we will see you next. Yes, no stretch marks or any unnecessary insertion of strange things. Anyway, we will see you next Monday night at 8 p.m. Good night, everybody. Good night, Gwendolyn.
Good night.